film crew all in there. She's in there, like, oh, hi, I'm Babe. I'm like, it was the most awkward thing in the world.
What the fuck did I sign up for?
Literally. But I'm like, oh,
this is a bad idea.
I'm glad I'm getting camera time. Like, yeah, sure, yeah, like, whatever. Yeah. Like, fuck it. And then the next day, like, literally, like, I'm meeting the girl who allegedly, like, found me or whatever and, like, brought me into the shop. It was crazy.
You said it was awkward, though?
It was awkward that day. Yeah, it was awkward as fuck. I don't know you, bitch. Like,
this episode is brought to you by ZipPix Nicotine Toothpicks. ZipPix brings you a totally satisfying, convenient, and great-tasting way to curb your nicotine cravings. Now you can get your nicotine fix anytime, and I can attest to that. I love ZipPix, especially for when I'm tattooing. I don't feel the need to smoke cigarettes or hit my vape. I can just have a toothpick in and run completely through the session. I love it. Not only do they have the nicotine, but they have the caffeine and B12. I love having those options. Ditch the cigarettes, ditch the vape, get some nicotine-infused toothpicks at ZipPixToothpicks.com today. Get 10% off your first order by using code UNEMPLOYABLE or CAMSUCKS. Your lungs will be glad you did. You must be 21 or older to order. Warning, nicotine is an addictive chemical. Zip more, smoke less with ZipPix nicotine toothpicks. It has come to my attention that a lot of you come here, watch the content, and don't subscribe. And it is that fact has been proven by those around me with a number figure of 90%. What's going on? You come here every week, you watch, just hit subscribe. That's it. That's all we want. Don't be a dick. Just hit the button.
Thank you guys for joining us on today's episode of Unemployable Podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Kevin Leroy. Thanks for joining us, man.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, super excited to have you.
I will say, Cam, I miss you doing
this. Cam is back.
My awkward intros.
Yeah.
Where did you go? Were you gone?
He's gone for an episode.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Episode or two.
I think two.
Two.
Yeah. Yeah, we keep telling people different stories why you're not on the podcast. You like the Joker, dog.
None of them make you look good.
I bet.
All right. Model Citizen used to be cool before Alex started wearing it. Are you tired of being unattractive to everyone around you? Well, not anymore. With the Model Citizen apparel, you'll be beating them off with a stick. Finally, tattoo clothing that is actual quality, that I can wear around and feel good. For real though, the quality of these clothes is top notch. This is like nothing you've ever seen before with a tattoo company. This isn't some Gildan bullshit. These are quality, hand-picked clothing. They have everything from vintage styles, oversized clothes, modern tees. Go to themodelcitizen.com. Get them before Alex does. So it sounds like you were creating a lot as a kid. Like, not just, like, drawing. You're doing the fashion. Was there anything past that?
I mean, so it's crazy. We've dabbled in a lot of different shit just because, like, my cousin... He was big into, like, well, he was big in a lot of different shit, but, like he ended up being a barber. Like, he opened up a couple shops. He actually just opened a brand new shop in West Hollywood. But he was cutting hair. My sister was really big in the theater, sports and all that shit. Like, we were into a lot of different shit. Yeah. But the things that I cared about most was always, you know, just art and fashion. And honestly, anything pop culture. Like, I was really big into, like who's high, like, what are they doing, what's happening, you know? Yeah. Like, I was into that kind of shit, yeah.
So that was kind of obvious from the beginning that, like, hey, I'm going to pursue, you know, art and fashion.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool. I just knew. I just like, yeah. I had a clothing line and everything when I was a kid. Nice,
yeah. What was it called?
We'll skip that question. But like in real life, like, and it's funny. I was actually just talking to my cousin about that. I was like, dog, we were literally in like the 7th and 8th grade, like really doing the work, like manifestation, like manifesting things without even knowing what we were doing, you know. Like, I remember, we would actually have real-life conversations about who we wanted to be when we were adults. Like, I mean, in vivid detail. And literally just, like, we were also big into, like, when we were kids, we was big into, like, Legos and shit. Like, yeah. Just building all type of crazy shit. But we would, like, be building this shit even younger and just be, like, really talking about, those are the conversations we were having, like, what, not just, like, oh, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer. It's just, like, no, like, specifically, like, I'm going to have my clothing line, I'm going to be styling and designing for these people, blah, blah, blah. Like, and it's crazy to talk about it now because it sounds fake when I think about it, but, or when I say it out loud, but I'm like, nah, these are actual conversations as kids that we were having. And I feel like that is a powerful force. Yeah. It's to know what you want and make it real. Even now, like, that's why I say, like, I think kids are really good at manifesting things. Whereas, like, adults, we let, like, bullshit cloud our imagination and like our clarity, right. You know, because I'm like, you can manifest anything. I feel like I'm a master manifester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You manifest?
Sometimes.
All right.
You?
What you manifest?
Do I? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Because yeah. You can, bro. It's like, ooh, as soon as failure creeps in, it's a possibility. Right?
Yeah.
It's a major possibility.
Yeah.
So, because there'll even be times where I'm like, man, this is, like, too much. And I'm like, no, it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, yeah, even if, like, I'm not manifesting, I'm more just, like, trying to get out of that negative mindset, you know?
Yeah.
Just, like, look at the positive side of it, you know?
But sometimes, like, things go so, like, beyond what I ever thought they would. I'm like, I don't even know where to go from here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't plan this far.
Nah, that is something I would say though too. Like the things that you do imagine, like even when I think about tattooing, and I remember when I first got introduced to tattooing, I remember I was thinking to myself, like, mind you, I was 19 years old, and I was thinking to myself, like, okay, like if I start tattooing, who would I be tattooing? And I was like, okay, I just graduated high school. I was like, I got everybody at school. I was like, I have a pretty big family and all my family's friends. I was like, I still have family in Missouri. I was like, I can travel out there and tattoo them and their friends. I'm like, shit, my shit is set. I have a career.
Yeah.
You know, and you think about it like, damn, that was the cap. For me, I'm like, that was like the cap.
Yeah.
You know, and then you just fast forward and it's like, damn, like you take this and you apply it to now where it's like the things that you want right now, think about how much further things could actually go than what the cap that you're setting for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I try to apply that to everything. When I think about, like, what I want to do with tattooing then and where it's actually taking me, I'm like, oh, well, shit can go 10 times what you're thinking.
Do you think if, like, 19-year-old Kevin saw you now, he would be like, this shit is crazy?
No, he would be like, shit, it's lit. Like, yeah. Fuck what's going on right now, it's lit.
And, like, if you could give, like, some advice to, like, yourself when you first started, what do you think it would be?
You know, that's, like, the most simplest, most complex question. Yeah, I'm like, tough. Yeah. I would say honestly, because I still have trouble with this right now, is just not harping on the bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the things that just typically make us mad on a daily basis is so stupid. And, like, how much of your day is fucked up by some stupid shit? You know what I'm saying? And it's just, like, we could, if you really think about it, you could have a really good day every single day if you just let dumb shit or, like, insignificant shit roll off your shoulders. And that's one thing I try to do as much as possible is just, like, even if it's someone else, and it's just a lot of times, I feel like 90% of the time that someone else makes you mad, you had nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, all right, it wasn't really directed at me. Like, I can let that go.
Yeah.
So I just try to do that.
I think that's really wise advice. I'm always talking, when I have the opportunity, I'm always talking and asking questions to like people that are way older than I am.
I'm not way older than you.
No.
I'm not way older than you.
I don't mean you. I don't mean you. I mean, like, you know, my grandparents, like, people in that, you know, because they're almost like at the end.
Yeah, so it's like
looking back now, like, you see the whole picture. Mm-hmm. Something I don't even have, like, half the concept of. Like, what is your advice or what wisdom do you have?
Yeah.
And almost all of them say what you just said. Mm. Like, I wish I didn't spend so much time being mad at this friend, or I wish I, like, forgiveness, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasted so much time being so angry about this or this situation, and they're just like, none of it matters.
Yeah.
You know, none of it fucking matters. Like, what?
No, you can think about a year ago. Like, shit you were going through a year ago. How much of that shit matters? Honestly, money lost, money spent.
Right.
Friendships lost, friendships gained. Like, a lot, like, arguments that you had, you don't even remember. You remember how you felt about it, sure, but... Like, you don't, like, a lot of shit doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, forward thinking. Like, what are your goals?
It's tough. It feels like it matters sometimes. Like, at the time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. I always say this because we're all human. I allocate a certain amount of time before I'm like, get over it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm about this. Even with my friends, like, when I feel like, we'll talk about shit, you know, like, yeah, this is your time. We'll talk about shit. But, like, a lot of my people know, don't come to me too much with the same shit.
Right.
You know, I don't want to sound like, I'm a Capricorn. I'm like, it's like very logical. Like, all right.
You can complain once.
Yeah.
Complain next week, if it's the same, it's your fault. You're not doing anything.
Yeah.
About
or talk to somebody else about it. Yeah.
You can practice that shit daily, because sometimes I'm driving, I'm in a good mood singing, and someone cuts me off. That shit will ruin the entire drive. Like, they just fucked up my day.
Yeah. No, I feel it. I feel it. I just, these are daily practices, I swear to God. Yeah. Like, I don't like being mad. I'm that person. Like, in relationships, I don't like arguing. Like, friendships, I don't like being mad. And when I feel like when people actually are trying to make me mad, like, I will blow the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? And, like, then I'm, like, stuck in this position. Now I'm resenting you for making me feel this way, for putting me in this position that I try so hard to stay away from.
Yeah.
You know, so, like... It's a daily thing. I just feel like you have to just be conscious about it.
Yeah.
You seem pretty mad when John kept getting strikes, though.
I was. Look, I was pissed.
Gotta let that shit go.
I was pissed.
Cam, if you can go back to your younger self and give him some advice, what would it be?
Probably to wake up earlier.
So if you can go back to last week, what would you tell yourself? Probably
yesterday, dude.
Little Cam.
Probably, like, the patience thing. You know, don't linger on dumb stuff. Like, drop resentment, shit like that, you know.
It is cool when you apprentice somewhere and then you start tattooing. It doesn't happen right away. But eventually, all those people that, you know, you had resentments towards, they look at you as an equal.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit, but you're almost like accepted, and it's like, cool, now you're a tattooer just like them. And that's a cool feeling.
Yeah. And what's crazy is like, you can feel like when that switch happens. Yeah. Like, it's like, it is literally like a night and day.
You kind of stop asking to do bullshit.
Yeah.
No, literally.
And then they're like, you want to go smoke weed? I'm like,
Our friends at our shop, I was like, Alana, she was, her apprenticeship like ended like not too long ago. And like, out of habit, I was like, Alana, can you hand me that? And I was like, green soap as a friend? Like,
it was started like when you started to hesitate to ask me stuff.
You're like, please?
Instant you threw the please at the end, I was like, whoa!
Thorum. Thorum has unique quality crafted products for everyone. They specialize in men's bands, but they also offer matching sets and women's engagement rings. Stackable, pave bands, and watches as well. Go check these guys out for all your jewelry needs and use discount code unemployable for 15% off.
And I feel like that's like a thing you kind of don't understand as an apprentice when you're first learning, and you're like, you like don't know what the fuck you want. And then it's like your mentor also like can't really help you yet because like you're lost, you know? And it's like, I feel like a lot of apprentices will blame their mentor, and like, I'd be lying if I said like I hadn't, you know? Yeah, but it's like,
who's your mentor? Oh, me. You're blaming me? Did you have a point early on where you kind of hit a low point or got really discouraged and maybe started to doubt yourself?
Yeah. A few different times in my career. Like, I'll say the first time was probably because I tattooed out of the house for a very, very long time.
Right.
To the point where, like, I was making decent money, but I feel like I was not getting better. Yeah. And, I tried to do a shop, and it was, like, a street shop in, like, downtown Dallas, like, next to a bunch of bars and shit. Like, didn't get any clientele at all whatsoever. You know, like, people were in there fighting for walk-ins and shit. And it was just like, all right, like, this ain't it, you know? And it's just like, all right, like, what do you do, you know? And honestly, at that time, this is me probably, like, 8 years into my career, 7, 8 years into my career. I was like, well, shit, I'm going to just try to do fashion again, you know? And I went back to school. No, I was, like, 5 years into my career. I went back to school, and I was like, that's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to be more into fashion, yeah. But then I feel like it just, it comes and it goes, you know, and I feel like even now, because it happens, like that feeling you're talking about, it happens. But now the trick for me is just to all, and I apply this to everything across the board, not just tattooing, but always have something to be excited about. You know what I mean? If it's a convention, if it's traveling, if it's, you know, a back piece, whatever it is, like never, you should always have something to look forward to. Otherwise, your shit's going to be stale. You know what I mean? Like, again, with everything. With family, with your spouse, whatever, like whatever you're doing, yeah.
And then when you like went back into fashion at first, you said at that 5 year point, were you like re-inspired? Like, yeah, this is it. This is going
to
be the thing.
Yeah, and what was cool? So I went back to school, and now I went to the Art Institute. So the programs are, it's like, yeah, you're in fashion design. You're in that you know field, but you also have to take these classes to get through it, you know? So all the classes was like figure drawing and, you know, a bunch of shit that like was applicable to tattooing, you know? So it was just like, damn, like, oh, I didn't even know, you know, like teachers teaching you shit, like keep your reference as close to your drawing as possible because, you know, looking over here, you're losing a lot of information from here to here. And I'm like, damn, like, so now when I tattoo, I do that, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, oh, I can actually see what I'm tattooing like that, you know? So school really, really inspired me. If it didn't do anything else, it was really expensive. And honestly, like, I like to say it was a waste of time, but no. Like, I was like, if it didn't do anything, it inspired the fuck out of me. Because it made me move. I left Dallas and moved to New York for school. I would never have done that had I not been in school and had people, like, believing in me that I respected and looked up to artistically, you know?
And then when did it find its way back to tattooing?
When I was in New York, literally. Like, I was living in New York and it was just like, again, I feel like you tap into that hustle mentality because New York is not cheap. Me being from Texas, I'm like, it was a culture shock. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, all right, you remember Billionaire Boys Club?
Yeah.
I was working at Billionaire Boys Club. I was tattooing on the side, and it was just like, I was just hustling my ass off, you know? And people were just so like, oh, wow, like, you work at BBC and you tattoo? Like, they thought it was, like, the coolest thing, you know? So, like, in my mind, cool. I'm like, y'all like these bullshit-ass tattoos? Like, I just wanted to be better, you know? And honestly, that's when Instagram came out, like, around that time. And, like, I remember seeing, like, Nico Hurtado for the very first time, like, on Instagram. Yeah. And it blew my mind because on paper, all I would draw would be color portraits, you know, with Prismacolors and shit. But to see someone do it on skin, like, I had never in my life seen that before. And I was like, what the fuck? I bought all his DVDs.
Yeah.
Like, I would just sit up. I bought, like, the pound of flesh, the fake skin, all this shit. I'm just sitting in my little apartment in New York, like, just practicing this shit. Like, it was insane. And then I actually, because of that, like, I feel like I ended up getting hired at a shop in Dallas on a visit type shit. Like, they found my Instagram, reached out, and was like, hey, we're hiring at shop, whatever. It's actually where I met Deanna. The guy who actually offered me the job was Deanna's mentor.
Was that at the shop with Zach too? All you guys?
No, Zach wasn't at that shop. Okay. No. But no, I said it because I'm just like, it found its way back. Like seeing the color portraits like excited me. I was like, I wanna do that. Like that's what I wanna do. I wanna be like that. So I just in my career, like I find lows, but how for me, what I found to work be beneficial is like finding shit to be excited about. It'll pull you out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the thing for that, and then it was full back to tattooing.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I had to quit. It was like okay at this point, fashion. I was working at BBC for like 2 years, and it, like, nothing was really happening. Like, it was cool. It was a cool-ass job, you know, but nothing was really happening.
Were there any expectations or hopes for working at that place? Like, it will turn into something else?
Hell yeah.
Like what specifically?
So, in my mind, I was like, because BBC is a really, really small company.
Yeah.
Like, only less than a dozen people work for that company. Right. You know? So, and I mean, like, if you're working in the flagship store, there's only one store in the whole country.
Right.
And you're doing everything from top to bottom. You're working the store. You're doing online orders. We held our meetings at Roc Nation. Like, Jay-Z's office is right next door to ours.
Yeah.
The design office is right there. So in my mind, it was room to grow. Like, I'm like, oh, I know everybody who works for this company. Like, at some point, I'm going to be designing for this company. Yeah. That was my ultimate goal. Right. And granted, like, I got opportunities to, like, do, like, little small things here and there. And people liked it. But and I don't want to say this, but no shade about it. But I feel like everybody who was hired to do their job, that's a job that they wanted them to do without changing too much right. at like that
stay
time.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah, stay in your lane type of shit. Yeah. So if I feel like I can't progress, I have to, like, rearrange, you know? And that's the cool thing about tattooing. It's just, like, for sure. Like, whatever you put into this shit, you can get out of it. No, you don't have HR to tell you when to progress, you know, like, it's all based on what you do.
Right.
Yeah.
Just free.
Yeah.
Like, cool. Like, we were talking about, like, when you're kids, like, just work as hard as you want, and then those are the rewards you get.
Literally. Whatever you want to do, you can do it.
Are you tired of using ink bottles that are spelled correctly? Do you find yourself texting during ad reads for companies? Well, I do, and that's why I use Allegory Black. Are you tired of your black arms looking blue? Do you suck at tattooing and you want to get better? Use Allegory Black. Allegory has normal black and ultra black. Just when you thought it couldn't get any darker, they put out ultra black. Use Allegory ink. It's the best ink on the planet. Go to allegoryink.com and use discount code unemployable for 20% off. I know, it's crazy. It's so much money. You really should pay full price, but we have a discount code, right, Alex?
That's right.
We were talking about that. Like, especially, like, traveling so much, and I know you're traveling a lot right now and meeting new people. Like, anytime I'm meeting someone that I want to meet, I'm like, oh, please be cool.
Yeah. No, dude, that's literally, yeah. I'm like, please.
Yeah.
No, I swear to God. That's how I was, just because I was on topic, but that's how I was with Nico. I was like, please, God. But, no, I agree. It's like that. Like, you meet everybody, and it's just like, all right. Like, because in my mind, I'm like, I don't think I'm a big artist. I'm just like, it's just like I'll meet people that I'm like, oh shit, like that's so and so, you know. And you just want to be cool yourself, yeah, you know. Yeah. But I feel like I've had nothing but pleasurable experiences with I'll say 90% of people I've met.
Yeah, because tattooers at the end of the day will still be tattooers, you mm-hmm. know. So mm-hmm. you'll yeah. run across your rough bunch.
Dude, even 50% would be better than I thought it would.
Yeah,
no, yeah.
And then when you came back into tattooing, you said you were inspired by the videos, and now it's like, cool, we're back to tattooing.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see, like, exponential change and growth from before when you were tattooing? Because you were probably off to the races.
Dog, no? Like, I swear to God, like, that time, that moment, like, when I started working, this is now 2013, I think. Yeah, 2013, I was working at Cat Tattoo. This is when I was with Deanna. I was working for like maybe like 10 months. And for those 10 months, it was color portraits. That's all I could give a fuck about.
Okay.
And I was like, I had this one guy who worked with one of my cousins who just, he had a white leg. I said, give it to me.
Yeah,
and he gave it to me. And I did like 6 color portraits back to back, all of them. Like I did Jules from Pulp Fiction. I did Miss Doubtfire. I did The Mask. I did just a bunch of, just pumped out a bunch of Macaulay Culkin. Just pumped out a bunch of fucking color portraits on him. Deanna actually has my 6th color portrait I've ever did in my life. Nice. That the big ass Elvis on her leg. But that's all I gave a fuck about. And with every portrait that I was doing, yes, I was like, okay, like I you know, you were saying like rip it apart. Like, I'll rip that shit apart every single time. I'm like, all right, come back next week. I want to do another one.
Yeah.
And they got better every single time, you know, like a lot better every single time, to the point where I went to my first convention. I didn't tattoo there. I just like was like, all right, like I was scared to go. Yeah, I was like, I was scared to go, but let's go. And I went and actually won a second place award. And I was like, oh shit, for Color Purple. I'm like, okay, yeah, it's lit. And literally, that's where I met Zach. Zach was at that convention. And he told me he was opening a shop or planning to open a shop. And he was like, we're tattooing at a studio right now. He was like, I know you're at Cat. He was like, but if you want to come work with us at the studio, you can. I went home, I packed all that shit up. I was like, I'm going to go work with Zach. So, but working with the 10 months at Cat Tattoo, and then really, really when I started working with Zach Singer, and it was him, Kevin Hicks, Danny, and me, I learned so fucking much. And honestly, it was crazy because when I started working there, I was like, oh my God, I'm the weak link here. Like, and I'm very competitive. Like, right. I have a very competitive spirit where it's just like, on one side, I want to quit. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm so uncomfortable here. I don't want to be here. Like, I don't want to be the weak link. But on the other side, I'm like, nah, give me a little bit. Give me a little bit of time. You know, especially if you're working around people who don't mind sharing information.
It's like the imposter syndrome thing we were talking about the other day, you know? Like, and I feel 100%. Like I get a little bit of that, too, because of the higher caliber artists I'm around. It can be a little off-putting. But if you can look past that like you did, you know, and be like, how can these dudes help me?
Yeah.
Like,
especially when people want to help you and make it okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because it could have been a lot different. Like, they could have been on some shit like you don't know this already. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you gotta step it up or get the fuck out.
Literally. Yeah. It could be that, you know, but thank God it wasn't. You know, like, they're like, oh, yeah, use these needles. Why are you using that machine? Like, what do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, fuck it. But it was those 2 years that really, really shifted my career. I mean, at that point, I've been tattooing for a long time, technically, you know, but it was those 2 years where I feel like I changed my environment, and it was just like, all right, like, you have goals set, and you have now the tools to achieve those goals. It's like, dog, should have changed like that, like, real quick. Right. And honestly, like I was telling you the other night, was that's how Ink Master, all that shit happened, was at Perception with Zach. Okay. Zach couldn't go because his baby was gonna be born this, like, during the time they would be filming. So they looked around the shop and, They asked me if I would come, and I was like, oh, I ain't got no kids. Like, yeah. So I just feel like that era of my career was a testament to just like hard work, tenacity, and pursuit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of things can happen, you know, if you want it, manifest it, you know, believe in yourself, God, or whatever your higher power is, like, believe in it, like, shit can pop off real quick. It never stopped after that, you know?
That was a moment?
Yeah, that was definitely the moment.
You got your chance. You went to Ink Master.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Ink, MTV, Tattoo Fart, it was a few other shows after that, yeah.
All right. Model Citizen used to be cool before Alex started wearing it. Are you tired of being unattractive to everyone around you? Well, not anymore. With the Model Citizen apparel, you'll be beating them off with a stick. Finally, tattoo clothing that is actual quality, that I can wear around and feel good. For real though, the quality of these clothes is top notch. This is like nothing you've ever seen before with a tattoo company. This isn't some Gildan bullshit. These are quality, hand-picked clothing. They have everything from vintage styles, oversized clothes, modern tees. Go to themodelcitizen.com. Get them before Alex does.
So, I mean, you and I have talked a lot about your experience on Ink Master. And it was fun. We got to go to Vegas together, and I got to, like, see a little bit more into that world, which was cool. Coming off of Ink Master, did you immediately receive benefits from going on the show?
Yeah, Ink Master alumni, they get, like, with Villain Arts especially, like, automatically you get all the emails like, hey, this is the lineup of the conventions, you know, we want you to come to, like, they'll discount a booth, free booths, you know, like, I actually didn't do any of them. I did a couple more conventions with Zach. I will say for me, and this was probably stupid at the time, but I didn't want to be tied down to the idea of, like, me being a contestant on that show.
Right.
Like, I feel like, and no shade to anybody, because I'm like, if you did the show, cool. But for me, I didn't want to get stuck.
Like as a ink master
artist. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I mean, call it a chip on my shoulder, whatever, but, like, I've always been the type where I want people to see me for the talent. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've ever seen me at a convention, you've never seen a single show that I've done on a banner or on a, you might see a little flyer if we're getting ready to air or some shit, but like, I want you to always come to me for me.
Right,
you
know? Meaning you're not advertising the show.
Yeah, I will advertise on my Instagram or whatever if we're airing or something, but once that's done airing, it's done, you know, until the next one, you know? So if people ask me about it, I tell them about it. If people recognize me, let's take a flick, you know, but I'm never the type of person to like try to like push that, and that's now my identity, you know what I'm saying?
I know there's been a bunch of shows you've been involved with, a lot of film and tattooing. What was after Ink Master, and how soon was it after?
Literally immediately. Like we were filming the finale of Ink Master December 6th. I was filming Black Ink January 3rd. Damn. Like it was right away.
So obviously you were staying at the location to film Ink Master.
Mm-hmm.
Did you move right after that?
No.
Or
so
how does that work?
How we were, so our Ink Master was a little different. We filmed the principal amount of like the shows and shit, like let's say during the spring. Then they get like a couple months to do the master canvas. And then we all come back for our live reunion.
Yeah.
You know, like later in the year. So we were coming back for our reunion.
And this was December?
This is in December. Okay. Yeah. And literally that same week, the producers from VH1, they saw me on Ink Master. Because we had season 8 of Ink Master, if y'all have not watched this shit, like, we had the best season. I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
This is the season Ryan Ashley won.
Yeah.
It was like 30 of us. It was crazy. Like, that whole season, like, still have viral moments from that season, like, airing right now. Yeah, it was like we came back and VH1 saw it, and it was like, all right, like, you know, would you be interested in coming on the show? I'm like, absolutely, fucking lutely. Like, I did good on Ink Master, but I didn't win, so fuck it, you know? So, yeah, got cast in that show, did that shit for like 2.5 years. It was insane, too, because Ink Master, I think for the tattoo industry, well, I don't think I know, but like Ink Master for the tattoo industry is a lot more respectable. But Black Ink was a much bigger show in terms of viewership.
Right.
You know, so like it was like a culture shock going from like very like structured game show to very unstructured like fucking like hit fucking cable network TV show that's getting like 2 million views. You're up there with like NBA playoffs and shit.
Right.
Like our show, like it was insane. So it was just like I love being in that kind of like light. It was cool, but at the same time, like it was super, super toxic.
Yeah.
So it was like this weird. It was like this weird world that you're living in, like where on one hand, like, oh, our show just aired on Monday, and I just gained like 25,000 followers in a day. But at the same time, like I go home and I'm depressed about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's fucked. It was fucked up for a while. Like I said, I did 2.5 years, and after a while, I was like, look. I've done all I can do. Like,
yeah. Wait, so what location was it filmed at?
New York. It was also in New York.
So you had to move there, right?
So no. I had just, I mean, like, literally, when I got cast for Ink Master, this was, okay, so I had, when Ink Master hit me up, I was getting ready to move to LA.
Yeah.
I was getting ready to move to LA. And I was like, all right, I can move, do the Ink Master thing, whatever. And I actually moved to LA, got an apartment. And again, like I said, it happened back to back. So I had a whole apartment in LA, and Ink Master and Black Ink both put me up in New York.
Okay.
So it was like I was paying rent in LA, but I was living in New York.
Right.
Yeah. For the next 2 years.
I mean, they hit you up for the show. I assume you didn't really have any idea what the show was going to look like, but you're like, this sounds like a good opportunity. I'm going for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I had never even watched the show before. Like, I knew Caesar because we follow each other on Instagram. Caesar's like over the whole show. But I had no clue what it actually was. And the thing about, I mean, I knew it was a big show.
Yeah.
You know, I've obviously heard about it, but I never like actually like watched it. But it was like, it was an opportunity that I felt like, I was like, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? If I don't like it, I'll quit. You know what I'm saying? Period. Yeah. And I mean, eventually that's what happened. But I think it was absolutely 100% worth it in hindsight.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
What was day one like? Like, you're in New York. You're like, all right, now I got to do this thing I committed to.
What is the show? Can you explain the show before you go into that?
So Black Ink Crew basically is like a docuseries. Like, unlike Ink Master, you go on there, you're on there for that season, and then they get a whole new group of people the next season. Black Ink Crew is like, there's the cast, and that is the cast until they just throw people in or people quit or whatever, you know, but the general cast is the cast and just follow their life. Hmm.
Oh, so even outside the shop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Day one, and I mean literally day one, I fly into LaGuardia. They have someone pick me up. They drive me to set. And while we're driving to set, they're prepping me. They're like, okay, so there's this girl, Mel. She is bringing you into the shop. But before we do that, we're doing that tomorrow. But today you have a date with Bay. What? What do you mean have a date? Like, what are you talking about? Like, literally left my bags in the car and had to go into this little restaurant they had and like, look, film, and it's big production. Damn. Film crew all in there. She's in there like, oh, hi, I'm Bay. Well, I'm like, it was the most awkward thing in the world.
What the fuck did I sign up for?
Literally. But I'm like, oh,
this is a bad idea.
I'm glad I'm getting camera time. Like, yeah, sure, yeah, like, whatever. Yeah. Like, fuck it. And then the next day, like, literally, like, I'm meeting the girl who allegedly, like, found me or whatever and, like, brought me into the shop. It was crazy. Like, off top. Like, you just get thrown in. It's like, go. You'll figure out what's happening. You know, they'll tell you. If you have questions, ask. Ask on camera.
You said it was awkward, though?
It was awkward that day. Yeah, it was awkward as fuck. I don't know you, bitch. Like, like, yeah, it was awkward as hell. But and that's the thing. Like, it was awkward, but also, too, the idea of it was exciting. It's like, you're literally here. Like, I like filming the show. It was cool. Yeah. Like, they get you whatever you want. Like, you getting an extra check. You know, it's cool. But over time, it was just like, dog, it was a lot of, like, bad shit, too, that, like, the producers were doing just for, like, ratings and shit. Like, trying to, like, literally destroy people's lives for ratings. Yeah. Yeah, but.
How'd the date go?
I mean, honestly, it's crazy because I personally didn't catch the worst of it. Mine was enough. And honestly, seeing what they were doing to other people was enough for me to be like, all right, like, just. Again, I'm about environment, and it's just like this environment is wearing on me, you know? So it's like, I gotta get the fuck.
But was it, like, cool in the beginning? Because, like, what you just described, to me, definitely sounds nerve-wracking and awkward, but also maybe a fun challenge.
Yeah, no, right? That's exactly it. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, so I feel like in the beginning, it would feel like that for a little bit. Like, fun challenge. All right, let me hit this next scene, different setting. Let me do this. Let me do that.
And also, two things. So you're filming for a while, and but nothing's aired yet. Right. So literally, like, we're traveling around. Like, they're taking us on cast trips and shit. And, like, when people see, like, it, dog, like, you would think it was, like, the fucking Beatles. Like, I mean, you'll get into airport. People are like, oh, my God, can we take pictures? Blah, blah. But, like, pushing me out the way. Nobody's seen me on the show yet. You know, and I'm just, like, waiting, like, fuck, I can't wait till this shit airs.
You know? Take this photo of us, man?
Because, like, until then, you've had none of that, right?
I mean, or a little. No, I mean, a little from Ink Master. So, like, what I've learned is just, like, again, like, people know me from Ink Master, but it's never been, like, that, like, how Black Ink is, you know what I'm saying? Like, Black Ink has a cult following.
Do you have any examples of some of those points where you're like, I don't know if this is worth it anymore?
One, I remember talking to, I can't remember if it was my sister or my mom, but I was talking to one of them one night, and, you know, like, when you talk to your family when you haven't seen them in a while, you just want to hear how their life is going. They want to hear how your life is going. And I remember the only thing I had to say was all negative shit. Everything I had to say was negative. And I was just like, that's not who I am, you know? And it was just like, all right, I hate that. And they get into full-blown fist-fighting altercations on this show. And I'm just like, y'all, like, I remember we wrapped that very last scene, and that was the very last scene of the whole season, 22 episodes done. And they were like, we have the house, you guys, for, like, an extra 3 days. If you guys want to stay, you can stay in the house. And, look, this is probably, like, it was probably, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. I was like, get me my ticket. I was like, I need my ticket, like, now. Like, 6 a.m. I need to leave.
I'm packing.
And I remember leaving. I remember literally getting my shit together and leaving. I was like, I'm not coming back. And then, like I said, you get those 3 months off. And by the end of those 3 months, I was like, okay. I was like, I made up my mind. I was like, Kevin, if they call you to come back, just give them a ridiculous amount that you require for you to come back. And I remember I was like, just, and if they meet it, then go back.
Right.
It'll be worth it. If they don't, then fuck it. So literally, now here comes a call from the producers. I'm like, oh, here we go. So
you're like nervous?
Well, I'm just like you just know what's about to happen. Yeah. So I answer the phone and it's just like, hey Kevin, how you been doing? Blah blah. I'm like, oh, I'm good. What's up? All right, we're starting it back up again. We're starting New Orleans. What's up? Like, we're about to get your ticket, blah, blah, blah. I was like,
$6 million.
No, literally. I got a number. I was like, I got a number. I was like, I can't do it. I was like, unless y'all meet this number, I can't do it. And she was like, Kevin, like, okay, you know we can't do that over the phone, blah, blah. You have to come here first and blah. No, bitch. Like, you know how much you, I told her, I was like, you know how much you're making before you go to New Orleans. I wonder how much I'm making before I go to New Orleans. Let's talk about that and we'll go there. They called me every day for like a week straight, trying to, like, we have your ticket. We have a, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm not going. Unless you meet this number before I get on this plane, I'm not
good
going. Yeah. And it was like, and then phone call stopped and it was just like, that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Black Ink was fucking nuts, to say the least.
You said 2.5 years?
Yeah. I did 2.5 years with them, yeah.
And then when you left, did it feel like a breakup?
Dog, and it's crazy because I didn't want to disappoint my family and friends. Like, that's really what it was. Because it's just like, for them, they don't know what the fuck is going on. They just see that, like, their friend's on this glamour, or brother, or whoever's on this glamorous ass big TV show, you know? And also, too, like, with the people that just watch the show, I didn't want people to think, like, oh, he got fired. Oh, he wasn't good enough to be on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want that either.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, dog, like, I don't give a fuck. You know, like, it got to be that. But thankful I was okay. Like, I have friends. Like, I'm nice to everybody. You know, I respect everybody. To the point where you don't even realize that you got people in your corner, you know? So they threw my name around to do that MTV show, which honestly was supposed to be a VH1 show. A lot of people don't know this.
So Black Ink threw your name out to, like, the producers?
The producers,
that's kind of cool of them.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Like, with you the number about, right underneath. Well,
they're like, by the way, Kevin costs this much.
No, I mean, shit. Well, it was funny because at first they just wanted, like, I don't know if you guys heard about Tattoo Far on MTV. It's hosted by Nico, I can never say his last name, Tortorelli. I think that's how you say it.
Sounded good.
Yeah, and then, Snooki was the original host, too. But originally, it was supposed to be on VH1, and it was supposed to have, like, all the, a bunch of different artists from Black Ink, and they shot two pilots, one for VH1 and one for MTV. The MTV one ended up getting picked up. But it was like, all that shit was happening at the same exact, again, it was like overlapping, where it was like, all right, it's not as big of a show, but fuck it. Like, I don't care. You know, it's a cool opportunity. So, yeah, I'm like, even though I was quitting, I still had that to be excited about.
So you went right to that.
How long
after was, like, that phone call that MTV happened?
Oh, it overlapped. That's what I'm saying. I didn't want to quit Black Ink, but I was like, shit, like, if this shit gets picked up, I'm good, you know? Like, I filmed the pilot while we were filming Black Ink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then right on to that. Was that in New York as well?
Yeah, that was also in New York.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So you could stay there. And then, so you already had the comparison since it was overlapping.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in your head, though, you're like, this is fine. Like, I'm not dealing with this one, but I can do this.
That show was fun as fuck. Nice. That show was fun. It was like street shop times 1,000. Like, people just coming in for dumb shit. Like, and it's just like, make this dumb idea, like, visually cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I mean, granted, a lot of them didn't know what the fuck they were getting. They were getting tattoos for each other. I don't know if you know the premise of the show. Yeah. It's like, yeah. It's like if y'all two came on the show, you choose a tattoo for him and you choose one for him.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're like, why you get it?
And I've seen some pretty bad ones.
Yeah. That was some crazy shit. But I'm like, the people on there, I feel like the contestants on there are the contestants on Ink Master. Like, you just, you just come on the show just to get a fucked up tattoo is crazy. You know what I mean? You might get a good one, you know, but
you're lucky.
Chances are you're going to get a bad tattoo or like something that you didn't really want. But anyways, it was a super, super fun experience. Honestly, out of all the shows I did, that one was like the most fun. Like we used to have so much fun. Like they put us up in a really dope ass hotel for 2 months. Like all the artists, it was six artists. All of us became really tight. The hosts were really cool. Like production was really cool. Like every single day we were on there, like everybody, like how I feel like coming in here, how everybody just had really good energy going to that show. Like every single day, nice. Super good energy. Everybody super happy and fun. Like it was cool.
This is a nice breath of fresh air.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. You ever follow up with the couples? Like y'all made it or
no, they'll follow with us. Like, can you cover this shit up?
So on your off time, you're just tattooing at a shop.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. My best friend, Katrina, she wanted to open up a shop. She was on Black Ink Chicago.
Okay.
Which was a different part of the franchise, equally as crazy.
Yeah.
I was a smaller cast member on New York. Yeah. She was main cast on Chicago. Yeah. We both quit at the same time, actually.
Oh, so you had that to talk about.
Yeah, we both ended up quitting at the same time for the same reasons.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, I want to open up a shop up in L.A. And I'm like, dog. I was like, if you open your shop up in L.A., I was like, I'm quitting. I'm going to quit this shit. And yeah. She didn't believe me. You know, because it's a big show.
Yeah.
She didn't believe me. And, yeah, she was like, well, I'm going. And I quit the show too. I'm like, so I was like, I have the MTV shit. I was like, Katrina's trying to open up Enigma. I was like, yeah, I'm cool. And so that's what we did. When I wasn't filming, yeah, we were literally just trying to make Enigma like a really cool shop in LA, you know. And then, you know, 5 years later, they ended up giving us our own show out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you say you're trying to make it a really cool shop, what were some things that were important to you guys that you wanted to implement in the shop?
Honestly, because there's not a lot of like black-owned shops, reputable black-owned shops, first of all, in the country, but yeah. More so in LA. And so that was a huge thing for us, was just like, all right, like, let's run this shit, you know, the right way. We want, you know, really top-tier artists, like, and, you know, even if it's an artist that just has potential to be, you know, that was really, really important. So it was just like a place that people could feel like, you know, welcome. You could feel like you could learn something here, you know. And yeah, I mean, honestly, it happened almost immediately. And I feel like just based off the intention alone, it was just like we all cared about the art, the work. Like, again, we were coming off hella TV shit. But at the same time, it's just like, again, that's not like our identity.
Yeah.
You know, like it was very much about like the passion of like showing, you know, like a black artist in a different light that hasn't been shown yet.
Tat Toolkit. You guys need to check this out. If you want to improve your digital designs and increase your tattoo productivity, then this is the site for you. Tat Toolkit offers digital designs, stamps, reference pictures, stencils, brush sets, and so much more. Whether you're just starting out or you've been in the industry your whole life, these tools will benefit you. What I love about Tat Toolkit is we're constantly working with new artists to really build an online community. You will get an inside look at the design process for each artist we work with. Tat Toolkit will offer everything from the tools these artists are using, the designs they're creating, online seminars, merch, and more. This is a great place to interact and connect directly with the best artists in the industry. You guys need to check this out at tattoolkit.com. And don't forget to use code CAMSUCKS for 10% off.
Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome episode, dude. Super happy with that. Yeah. We'll catch you guys next week.
Peace. Guys, hope you enjoyed the episode. I know we joke around a lot and get wild on some topics. But one topic I take very serious is addiction. If you or anyone you know is struggling, don't be afraid to reach out and get the help you need.